All right, we're beginning here on the top of Nun Dalet Amud Aleph. Tanya Kavote Durovo. We have a braita that supports Rova's understanding of the Mishnah. The Mishnah brings us a position of Ravi Yehuda. When you have Eshet Av and Imo, then you only punish for Imo and not for Eshet Av. And the question was in the Gemara, what is the source for such a position in Rav Yehuda? So now the Gemara attempted a number of different options. But each of those options failed because of the either subsequent psukim or because of the position of the Rabbonon. So Rova finally came up with a solution, which we read at the end of yesterday's daf, and that is then supported by this braita. I'll quickly read over the position of Rova, although truthfully it's explicated in the braita, and it's much easier to understand his position once you get to the braita. But the last four lines on the bottom of Nun Gimon Bet, Ela Amar Rava, Kasava Rav Yehuda, Ervat Avicha, Zo Eshet Avicha. That Ervat Avicha in the Pasuk references to Ervat, to Eshet Avicha, Mighty Love Gzeirah Shavah. And we know that through Gzeirah Shavah, which we'll discuss in a second. Umashma Ben Eshet Aviv Sheimo, Ben Eshet Aviv Sheina Imo. In that Pasuk, when it says Eshet Av, it's not discerning as to whether the Eshet Av is also his mother or not. Imo she'enu Eshet Aviv minayin. How do we know about a mother? Tamadoma Ervati Mecha lo tegale. Imcha hi mishum imo ata mechaivo v'yata mechaivo mishum Eshet Aviv. So once you already have the inclusion of imo, then we use imcha hi to become an exclusionary term. And to tell you that when you have both imo and Eshet Aviv, according to Rav Yehuda, that leaves you only with the punishment of imo and not Eshet Aviv. Now the braita will explain it. What you have to know for the braita is that we're really looking at three psukim over here. Two of the psukim are found in Parshat Achrimot, and one of the psukim is found in Parshat Kedoshim. That has to do with the breakdown of the psukim by the Arayot, that when it comes to the Azharot, which are the Lotase, the warnings, the Lotase, or negative precept associated with them, those are found in Parshat Achrimot and Perek Yudchet. In Parshat Kedoshim and Perek Chaf, you have the Onesh. You have the punishment that is associated with it. So now, in Parshat Achrimot, you have two psukim. The first of which says, Ervat Avicha, Ve'ervati Mecha lo tegale, Imchai lo tegale Ervata. So in that pasuk, it sounds like you're speaking about a mother. The only real question is the first two words of the pasuk, which are Ervat Avicha. What does Ervat Avicha mean? What's the relevance of Ervat Avicha in that pasuk? If you had just started the pasuk Ervat Imecha lo tegale, Imchai lo tegale Ervata, you would have understood the pasuk. It wouldn't have been anything that was missing. The addition of Ervat Avicha, what does that do? Subsequent to that, you have another pasuk that says Ervat Eshet Avicha lo tegale, Ervat Avicha hi. So again, there you have Eshet Avicha. So if you're going to interpret Ervat Avicha in that way, then you have a duplication of the psukim, which is Eshet Avicha, and then you have Ervat Avicha hi, which again, like Imcha hi, is an exclusionary term. When you go to Parshat Kedushim, then we have one pasuk that deals with this, and it says, V'ish asher ishkavet Eshet Aviv, Ervat Aviv Gila, Motu Mato Shnehem Demehem Bam. So there in the pasuk in Kedushim, which we already again discussed yesterday, the only punishment that is met out or mentioned over there is that of Eshet Aviv, not of Imo, not of the mother. That was what we saw in Rav Shisha Brei de Ravidi yesterday, that he had the Gzeir Shava to teach about the punishment of Aim, because Aim is not mentioned in Psukim in Parshat Kedushim. So now we're going to go through the Braita, and the Braita is going to slowly dissect these three Psukim and explain to us the position of Rabbi Yehuda. Then we'll have the position of the Chachamim, and then the Gemara will go back and forth trying to figure out what the Chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda do with each other's Psukim in order to develop a bigger picture. Again, it's easier. I put out charts that basically lay out the Psukim and the Limudim of the Psukim. Just visually, if it's easier for you, you can see those and see what the Drashot are. Tanya Kavote de Rovo, we have a Braita that supports Rova's position. Ish Prat de Katan. So the pasuk begins with Ish Asher Yishkav et Eshet Aviv. Ish is Prat de Katan. Asher Yishkav et Eshet Aviv, that has a relationship with his father's wife. Mashma. Over here, when you say Eshet Aviv, there's no qualification of what it means Eshet Aviv. Meaning, both Ben Eshet Aviv Shehimo, Ben Eshet Aviv Shaloimo. Irrespective of whether this Eshet Aviv, the wife of his father, is also his mother or not his mother, both of those are captured by that statement of Eshet Aviv. Imo, She'ena Eshet Aviv Minayim. On the other hand, if it's just his mother, but happens not to be his father's wife anymore, for instance, they're divorced, how do I know there that you're also chayav? Tamalomar ervat aviv gila. That's the continuation of that pasuk in Kiddushim, which is, you have ish, ashish, kavid, eshet aviv. Right now we're saying eshet aviv includes anybody under that category of eshet aviv, whether it's the mother or not the mother. Then you have another statement in that pasuk of ervat aviv gila. And through that, Rabbi Yehuda is saying that ervat aviv gila teaches us about imo, that the mother, irrespective of whether she's eshet aviv, mufne, that wording is extraneous. Lakish uladom mimenu gzeres shava. In order to teach gzeres shava, mot yumetu biskila. The end of the pasuk is that they will be put to death, both of them. Biskila ata omer biskila. Oeinu ala b'chat mikol mitov tamalot b'torah. How do you know it's skila? Maybe it's one of the other death penalties that says mot yumtu. Nemarkan demeim bam. The end of the pasuk it says demeim bam. V'nemar ba'ovidoni demeim bam. By ovidoni, which yesterday we saw as this paradigmatic pasuk that teaches us that skila is associated with demeim bam. So here you have that connection. Malhalan biskila, just like a ovidoni, it's by skila. Avkan biskila. So now the Gemara says onesh shamanu. You just laid out a pasuk from Parshat Kedushim, which references about punishment, and you just laid out the whole explanation of the pasuk in Parshat Kedushim that explains to us when you're meeting out the punishment, what the punishment is, and who it affects. Azara minayin. How do we have a similar thing when it comes to the warnings or in the lotaseh that tells us that it is restricted? Parshat Kedushim just tells you the result of violating the isur. Parshat Echremot, which is what the Gemara is looking at now, tells us what the restrictions are. So Tamar Lomar, and this goes to that pasuk that we spoke about before, pasuk Zayin in Perek Yud Chet, Ervat Avicha lo tegale. Truthfully, that doesn't exist in the pasuk. The pasuk reads, Ervat Avicha vet Ervat Imcha lo tegale. The Gemara now takes the lo tegale to reference to both of the statements before. And therefore, it reads the pasuk as saying, Ervat Avicha lo tegale. Ervat Avicha zo eshet Avicha. When it comes to Ervat Avicha, that's a reference to eshet Avicha. So now that is the proposition that the Braita makes. Ata omer eshet avicha enu ela ervat avicha mamash. How do you know that when it says ervat avicha lo tegale in the pasuk, it's referencing to eshet avicha, to your father's wife, and maybe not to your father himself? Because that's what it says in the pasuk, ervat avicha, which would be a reference to Mishkav Zachor. Nemar kan ervat avicha lo tegale. In this pasuk, in it says, Ervat Avicha lo tegale, v'nemar lahalan, Ervat Aviv gila. And also found in Pasuk in Parshat Kedushim, it says, Ervat Aviv gila. And if you remember, when we did that in the first part of the Braita, it said that that was mufne, that was extraneous, available for a gzeres shava. This is the gzeres shava. Malahalan bishut akatuv midaber, just like in the Pasuk in Parshat Kedushim, Ervat Aviv Gila, it's speaking about an instance that involves marriage. Afkan bi'ishut akatuv midaber. So too, the pasuk in Achremot is talking about issues of marriage, not issues of Mishkav Zohor. So now, if you do that, the word Ervat Avicha in Perek Yudchet does not mean Avicha literally. It means Ervat Avicha in the context of marriage, which means Eshet Avicha. Umimashma. And again here, when you say Eshet Avicha, that's ben eshet aviv sheimo, ben eshet aviv sheino imo. Then you would take that restriction and apply it across the board. It's irrelevant whether eshet aviv is the mother or eshet aviv is not the mother. Both of them are restricted. Imo sheina eshet aviv minayin. Then again, we'd have to ask, when you have her the mother and not be eshet aviv, how do we know there's a restriction there? The possibility that the woman is his mother but no longer married to his father. Tamad lomar, ervat imecha lo tegale. The Gemara takes the pasuk of ervat avicha veret imecha lo tegale and put each one of them and says ervat avicha lo tegale and ervat imecha lo tegale. And here it darshins from that ervat imecha lo tegale means if it's a mother without eshet aviv. Ainli ela ba'azhara shasa katuv imo sheina eshet aviv ki imo shehi eshet aviv. So now we see in this pasuk that there is this connection between mother without Eshet Aviv to Eshet Aviv. On the other side, there is this juxtaposition between the two in the pasuk of Ervat Avicha to Ervat Imecha, and therefore there's an equation that says that they will be similar. Onesh Minayin. How do I know by the pasuk in Parshat Kedoshim that that same equivalence is drawn. It says here, Ervat Avicha lo tegaleh in the pasuk in Achrimot. The pasuk in Kedoshim says Ervat Aviv Gilah, that is the Gzer Shava. Maz Hara. Just like by the Lotus set, Asa Katuv Imo, She'in Ed Eshet Aviv, Ki Imo She'i Eshet Aviv. Over there, we drew this parallel or equivalence between a situation in which it's the wife of the father to a case where it is the mother. So those two are now equated, and so the din will be the same. Af Bonish will say the same thing when it comes to meeting out the punishment. Asa Katuv Imo, She'in Eshet Aviv, Ki Imo She'i Eshet Aviv. So too over there, we will make that equation and say that just like the pasuk was speaking about Eshet Aviv, this is the din, so too will that have application by Imo that is not Eshet Aviv. So in the original part of the Braita, when it brought down Ervat Aviv Gilah, it said to us that's a reference to Imo. It's a reference to his mother, that's not Eshet Aviv. How did the Braita know that? It didn't give you the information, but that's what came, we just read now, which is it comes out of the Gzera Shava. Gzera Shava teaches us that Ervat Aviv Gilah to Ervat Avicha Lo Tegaleh. That teaches that just like in Parshat Kedushim, it's speaking about Eshet Aviv, so too in Parshat Achrimot, it's speaking about Eshet Aviv. Then once you've established that it's speaking about Eshet Aviv in Parshat Achrimot, in that same pasuk, it says Ervat Imecha. So over there, you learn both Eshet Aviv and Imecha in the same pasuk. So the Gzera Shava then in the other direction teaches you that the pasuk in Kedushim, which only mentions Eshet Aviv, is also including Imo because of the Gzera Shava. And that means that through this, you learn that Imo would have the punishment of Skila, and then you would no longer need Rav Shisha Brev de Ravidi according to this limud of Rav Yehuda. Then the Pasuk continues in Achrimot and says, Imcha hi. That is the exclusive term, he, implying her and not someone else. That's the limud that we've seen in Rav Yehuda's position. That's what Rava brought before as well. Mishum imo, atam mechayvo, v'yatam mechayvo, mishum eshet av. So here you have the source for Rabbi Yehuda's position, which is imcha hi tells you that whenever there is both imo and eshet aviv, you only punish for imo, or you're only culpable for imo. So now the Gemara is going to digress and deal with the Rabbanon's position as opposed to Rabbi Yehuda. The truth is that there's still some residual to Rabbi Yehuda's position, and that is the subsequent pasuk in Achrimot, which is Ervat Eshet Avicha Lo Tegaleh, Ervat Avicha Hi. For Yehuda, that pasuk is completely extraneous, because he already learned from pasuk Zion, Ervat Avicha, to include Eshet Avicha. So if you already have Eshet Avicha from that pasuk, what do you need the pasuk Het for? And therefore, since you have this extraneous pasuk, Rav Yehuda will darshan from that pasuk two things. It'll be coming up in the Gemara. I'm just doing it to complete the sheet of Rav Yehuda, which is Ervat Eshet Avicha Lo Tegaleh. From there he learns that Eshet Aviv applies even after death. Even after the father passes away, Eshet Av is still restricted. And then the pasuk ends, Ervat Avicha Hi, which again seems to be an exclusive term, a miut. And that's where we get the limud, Mishum Eshet Avat Mechayvo, V'yata Mechayvo Mishum Eshet Ish. That's what Rabbi Yehuda learns from this, which is that Ervat Avicha tells you Eshet Av and not Eshet Ish, but not Eshet Av and not Imo, which was the suggestion of Abai yesterday, because we saw that ran into some logical problems. So now we're moving to the Shita of the Rabbanon, and the Shita of the Rabbanon is differentiated from Yehuda with the term of Ervat Avicha. In the Pasuk in Achrimot that begins Ervat Avicha, the Rabbanan believe that Ervat Avicha is not Eshet Av, rather, it is literally Avicha. Rabbanan, Ervat Avicha, Mamash. They believe it's referencing to your father. A restriction against having a relationship with the father, which means you have now two Isurim associated with a homosexual affair with one's father. That would include both. The next high, Me'et Zachar Nafko. So that we have already in the Psukim of Arayot, that one is not allowed to engage in a homosexual relationship. So that is Ve'et Zachar. Why do you need Ervat Avicha? The Chayav Alav Shtayim, to make you Chayav twice. Meaning that if that happens with the father, not only are you culpable for the homosexual side of it, you're also culpable for Ervat Avicha. So they read the Pasuk of Ervat Avicha literally, Ervav the father and not Eshet Av. Uched de Rav Yehuda. This is similar to what we've seen from the Amora of Yehuda. Damar Rav Yehuda, Nachri, Habal Aviv, Chayav Shtayim, a non-Jew who engages in a homosexual activity with his father is chayav twice. Habal achei aviv, someone who does that with his uncles, Chayav Shtayim, Amar Rava. Mistavra Milta de Rav Yehuda, Bisrael, Bishogeg, Ubikurban. The story that Rav Yehuda is putting together makes sense. When you first saw, you're speaking about a Jew, not a Nochri. Number two is you're speaking about a case of Shogeg and not a case of Mezid or a case of capital punishment. So now, the reason being, and we already explained this yesterday, which is you can't mete out two death penalties. A person can only die once, you can't die twice. And so therefore, if you are Chayiv twice, it doesn't really matter because you can only put one punishment on this individual. So all these statements here about multiple Isurim are really only relevant when it comes to Shogeg, when a person does it unintentionally, and then they have to bring a Korban Chatat because it's a Lav that leads to a Chiyuv Karet. And so Bishogeg, you're going to bring a Korban. There, if there are two Isurim that are violated, each Isur will generate a requirement for an additional Korban for the Shkagah Korban Chatat. And that's what he's saying here. When you say Chayev Shtayim, that's only relevant when you're speaking about Korbanot. And Korbanot are only relevant Bishogeg. In addition, they're only relevant to Korban Chatat for Israel. And that's what Rava says here, that Rav Yehuda's statement must be talking about the case of Israel, Bishogeg, that is bringing a Korban Chatat. V'hai de kamar nachri. So then doesn't Rav Yehuda say explicitly we're speaking about a nachri? Lishna ma'al yahu. That is a euphemism. Because we don't want to say it about a Jew. So he terms it in terms of a nachri in order to make it as if it doesn't happen in the Jewish nation. As if it's not something that should ever happen. But that's not what it really means. It's not speaking about a nachri. It's speaking about a Jew. Disa kadatcha nachri mamash. If you think we're speaking about literally a Nachri, Dino, my Nihu, what is his din? Katala. You have to kill him. It's a death penalty. There's no differentiation between Shogeg and Mezid there. And the only thing to be met out is a death penalty. Betray, Katle, Katlade? How can you kill somebody twice? You can't mete out two death sentences, so what's the relevance of his statement? So the truth is, by a Jew, there might be relevance even by Mezid, which is, do you need to do tshuva for both of the restrictions, or only tshuva for one? Were you in violation of one or two negative precepts? So you could argue that there is a nafkamina, but in terms of Beit Din, there really is no nafkamina, and therefore speaking about shtayim is not really relevant. So Tanya Nami Ochi, we have a braita that supports that understanding in Rav Yehuda, a Bal Aviv, Chayav Shtayim, someone who engages in a homosexual affair with the father, has two punishments that are associated with that. One is et zachar, and the other one is ervat avicha. Habaal achei aviv, chayav shtayim, is also chayav shtayim. Now, uncles also have a statement which is ervat achi avicha lo tegaleh. So over there, again, you have a statement about a male counterpart. In most cases, you would loosely interpret that to mean that when you are exposing the erva of your father, exposing the erva of your uncle, it's in reference to the woman that they're married to, and that's the way the Rabbi Yehuda learns it. On the other hand, now, the way we're learning it is literally that it's Ervat Avicha means the father himself and not the one married to his father, and Ervat Achei Avicha is referencing to your uncles and not to your aunts. So then when you do that, in those two instances, if you have Mishkav Zechor that is connected to Avicha or Achei Avicha to your uncles, then you'll be Chayav twice, according to this. Iged Amrei, the local Rabbi Yehuda. Some say that this position here goes against Rabbi Yehuda for obvious reasons, which is Ervat Avicha. In the Pasuk of Ervat Avicha, Rabbi Yehuda darshans Ervat Avicha to mean Eshet Avicha. And here we're darshaning Ervat Avicha to literally mean Avicha. So this limud, or this braita, and that statement of Rabbi Yehuda would not be able to be reconciled with the position of Rabbi Yehuda the Tana. And some say, afilu teima Rabbi Yehuda. Some say you can even have this reconciled with Rabbi Yehuda. Umayti la b'kavachomer me'achei aviv. And he learns it out of a kavachomer from uncles. So Rabbi Yehuda can't necessarily subscribe to this because he learns Ervat Avicha to be referencing to Eshet Avicha. So that was the first Ikadamri, that none of this is like Rabbi Yehuda. On the other hand, this second Ikadamri suggests that maybe even this can be reconciled with Rabbi Yehuda because he agrees by uncles that over there we take it literally. And if you do that, the only reason you'd be restricted in your uncle is through your father. Your relationship to your uncles moves through your father because they're your father's brothers. And over there, if you engage in Mishkav Zachor, you're chayav for both Mishkav Zachor and Achei Avicha, Aviv lo Koshekein, then certainly that it would be true by your father. That is the Kal V'chomer. Now we know that there's a principle of Ein Onshin Min Adin, which means that we don't mete out punishments when through a logical argument or through a Kal V'chomer, you need a full-fledged limud in order to do such. Now, according to the Ikad Amre here, Rabbi Yehuda is learning this din from a Kal V'chomer. And that would mean Onshin Min Adin, and that's what the Gemara says now. These two lishonot, and whether we can or cannot reconcile Rabbi Yehuda with this position that you get two isurim in Mishkab Zohor with the father, is a machloket the bayin rova. Mar savar onshin min adin, mar savar ein onshin min adin. That machloket between a bayin rova, whether we do give punishments when it's done through a kal v'chomer, that machloket will then determine the two ikadamris over here. If you believe you can give a punishment if it is through a kal v'chomer logical argument, that will be the second ikadamri, and then we can reconcile Rabbi Yehuda with this position, the Braita and Rav Yehuda, the Amora, that you get two punishments or two chataot in a case of Mishkav Zohor with the father, even though Ervat Avicha is not available according to Rabbi Yehuda for a limud, because you have Ervat Achei Avicha, you have the uncles, and through a Kal V'chomer I would include the father as well. On the other hand, if you believe Ein Onshin Min Adin, that you can't learn that through a Kal V'chomer, then Rabbi Yehuda is irreconcilable with the Braita or with Rav Yehuda the Amora, because over there you have two punishments being given, or two isurim being violated when it comes to Mishkav Zohor with the father, and you have no source for that. Ervat Avicha, Rabbi Yehuda already told us, is interpreted as Ervat Eshet Avicha, and Achei Avicha, true, you could learn a Kal V'chomer, but Ein Onshin Min Adin, and therefore you can't reconcile the positions. Now, V'Rabbanan, Azhara L'Eshet Av Minalahu, so now we continue within the position of the Rabbanan, how do they know that there's an Azhara for Eshet Aviv? Remember that Rabbi Yehuda learned that out of Ervat Avicha. He said that's speaking about Eshet Avicha, and that's the Azhara, the Lota, said for Eshet Av. Nafkalahu, Me'ervat Eshet Avicha, Lo Tegaleh. That's not a problem. The subsequent Pasuk says it explicitly, which is Ervat Eshet Avicha, Lo Tegaleh. That's the Azhara. Rabbi Yehuda, this is what I previewed for you before. Rabbi Yehuda, Hahu Mibaylet Lazhara, Le'eshet Aviv, Lachar Mita. That teaches you about the fact that Eshet Aviv has application even after the death of the father. V'Rabbanan, where do they learn out the fact that the Issur of Eshet Aviv persists even after the death of the father? They learn that out from the latter part of the Pasuk, which says, Ervat Avichahi, which is Ha'omi Sefer Dekorah Nafka, Ervat Avichahi, and they learn from that that it remains, Behaviyatah Tehei, Eshet Av remains in place even after the father passes away. Rabbi Yehuda, Ha'omi Ba'ile Mishum Eshet Av. He needs that to teach you about an Eshet Av, Atam Mechayvon, V'yatam Mechayvon, Mishum Eshet Ish. And again, this is what I previewed for you before, that he learns that there is an exclusionary term there, Erevat Avicha Hi, not Havayatei, but rather He and not something else. That not something else is Eshet Ish, which is that when engaged in an affair with Eshet Av, that individual is only in violation of Eshet Av, not in violation of Eshet Ish, even though the Eshet Av is married. Now, the Eshet Av could be married to the father, or the Eshet Av, after the father is out of the picture, either through divorce or through death, could have married someone else. So there's a possibility of a violation of Eshet Ish and Eshet Av. Problem with that is, the latter half of our Mishnah seems to indicate otherwise. Banan Tanan, our Mishnah says, Abal Eshet Av, Chayv Aleha Mishum Eshet Av, Umishum Eshet Ish. Our Mishnah was explicit that in a case where there's Eshet Av and Eshet Ish, the person is liable, culpable for both. Ben Bechayav, Ben Achar Mitatav. That's whether the father is still alive, or whether the father has passed away. Meaning that it doesn't matter, and that we saw both from the Limud of Rabbi Yehuda, as well as the Limud of the Chachamim, that Eshet Av persists even after the death of the father. Velo Polig Rabbi Yehuda. And Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah does not argue on that. He argues on the first case of Imo and Eshet Aviv, that there you only chayav for Imo, but he does not argue on the remainder of the Mishnah. So Amar Abaye Polig Bibraita. It's not explicit in our Mishnah, but in a Braita we do find that he argues on this. And therefore, even though in the Mishnah he doesn't indicate that way, in a Braita he does indicate that Eshet Ish does not apply in the case of Eshet Aviv. Rabbanan, Onesh Eshet Aviv, Lachar Mita Minalahu. How do the Rabbanan know that one is punished for Eshet Aviv after death? We also don't know how Rabbi Yehuda does it, but the Gemara says, Bishlama, Rabbi Yehuda, according to Rabbi Yehuda, Maiti La, Bigzer Shova. That's not a problem because he uses the Gzera Shova to teach you. Just like there's an Azhara by Eshet Av, that whatever is true by the Eshet Av and the Azhara will also be true by the case of the Onish, the punishment, because you have a Gzera Shova that passes these things back and forth between what we know by the Onish and what we know by the Azhara. They can be brought back and forth. El Rabbanon who do not have that Gzera Shova, Minolohu, Amr Lacha, Hau Ervat Aviv Gilat. That's exactly what is in the Pasuk in Kiddushim that speaks about Ervav Eshet Aviv. It says, Ish Sheish Kavet Eshet Aviv, Ervat Aviv Gila. Now that Ervat Aviv Gila, Rabbi Yehuda uses for the Gzer Shava. He says it's Mufne, it's extraneous, and therefore I use it for Gzer Shava. The Chachamim say that Ervat Aviv Gila comes to teach you about an Onesh for Eshet Aviv, Achar Mita. The Mabik Law of Rabbi Yehuda, the Gzer Shava. Rabbi Yehuda uses that terminology, that extraneous wording for Gzer Shava. Mafkaleinu leonish, de Eshet Aviv lachar mita. The Rabbanan used that to teach you that Eshet Aviv is punishable even after the death of the father. Verabbanan onish leimo, sheinet Eshet Aviv minalahu. Here again, you have a problem, which is something that we already noted in yesterday's daf, and I noted today earlier in the daf, that when it comes to the punishment for imo, it's not mentioned in Kedushim at all. So here, Rabbi Yehuda solves that problem through the Gzeir Shava. And he says that Ervat Avicha and Lo Tegaleh, which is in Achremot, and Ervat Aviv Gila, which is in Kedoshim, give you that Gzeir Shava. And just like in Achremot, there's a mention of the mother in that Pasuk. They're juxtaposed there. And it has an Azhara for the mother without Eshet Aviv. So the Gzeir Shava tells you that Imo will also be punished in Pashat Kedoshim. But on the other hand, for the Chachamim, the Rabbonon, where do they have the fact that in the case of a mother, it's punished? So Amar Rav Shisha Brei de Ravidi, this is what we quoted yesterday. That's what we learned from Rav Shisha Brei de Ravidi. Amar Kra Imcha Hi. It says, your mother. Asa katub limo, she'ene eshet aviv, kimo, she'ene eshet aviv. Imcha Hi, in the Pasuk, in Achrimot, which says, Ervat avicha verat imcha lo tegaleh, imcha hi, lo tegaleh ervata. That imcha hi comes to teach you that there is this equation of equivalence that Rabbi Yehuda also has, which is that Imo that is not Eshet Aviv is equivalent to Imo that is Eshet Aviv. Now, if it is Eshet Aviv, we already know the punishment is Skila, because that's the punishment for Eshet Aviv, irrespective of whether it's Imo or not Imo. So now that juxtaposition in Achrimot comes to teach you that there is this equivalence between Eshet Aviv that is Imo to Imo that is not Eshet Aviv. And through that, they now know that in Arayot with the mother, that's a punishment of skila. So in that way now, we've just taken those three psukim, two that are in Achremot and one in Kedoshim, and explained them both according to the Shita of Rav Yehuda, as well as according to the Shita of the Rabbanan. Right now, the Gemara continues with the Mishnah, which says, Abal Kalato, someone has arayot with his daughter-in-law, is chayev skila. Ulechayev nami mishum eshet bino. It says, Ervat kalatcha lo tigaleh, Eshet bin chahi lo tegaleh ervata. The pasuk specifically says Eshet bino, as if maybe that's a different category called Eshet bino. So that's what the Gemara is trying to understand. How is Eshet bino different than kalato? Why are you only chayav for kalato? You also have a problem of Eshet bino. Amar Abaye, tachak du bekalato, b'siyem b'eshet bino, lomar lacha, zohi kalato, zohi Eshet bino. That kalato and Eshet bino aren't two separate restrictions, but rather it's a single restriction. So since the Pasuk gives you both pieces of information together in the same Pasuk, where it seems to switch from one to the other, that's teaching you that they are the same and not actually different. The fact that the Pasuk begins with Kalatcha and then switches to Eshet Bincha tells you that they are synonymous. And not to look at them as being separate Isurim, but rather a single Isur of Kala and Eshet Bincha. So even though you would have suggested that possibly Kala and Eshet Ben would be two separate Isurim, and in that way you would then actually be in violation of two Isurim, what the Gemara is telling you is that Kalato and Eshet Ben are actually synonymous and not separate. And Rashi says, you learn it out from the fact that it says the word he in the Pasuk, which is Ervat Kalatcha Lo Tegaleh Eshet Bincha he. So he says it's the same person we were speaking about earlier in the Pasuk, and to tell you that you're only chayav for one shame over here. And Rashi notes over here that the reason that it writes it like this, again, Ervat Kalatcha Lo Tegaleh Eshet Bincha he says the teacher, behind the other, Kotvei Lechayvelei Af Lachar Mita. And the reason he repeats it is come to teach you that the application of this din applies even after the death of the son. And that's what we saw in our Mishnah, that similar to Eshet Av, which persists even after the death of the father, the restriction of Eshet Ben also persists post the death of the son. So Tosfos does ask over here, Bim Tomar, Azara Shamanu Onesh Lachar Mita Minolei. That's great. Now that you taught me this about the Azara, how do you know that it applies to the Onesh? The same way that we asked that question before, we needed a pasuk both by Azara and by Onesh. How do you deal with that here by Kalaton? Eshlamar, Danafkale Migzer Shavad in the Mehem, Mime Eshet Av, Danash Lachar Mita Kimachayim. Learn it out from the Gzer Shavah of Dmei Bam, which is also used for Skila, but here we'll use it to connect it to Eshet Av. Just like by Eshet Av, where it has application both while he's alive and married, and even if he is passed away. And there we saw there was no differentiation between Onesh and Azhara. So to over here, where the Pasuk indicates to us by Azhara that there's no distinction to whether the child is alive or not, then the Onesh, we will say the same thing, that it has no differentiation between whether the son's alive or not. And that we'll learn out from paralleling it to Eshet Av. All right, now next Mishnah. Habala Zachor, Valabema. In a case where a male engages in homosexuality or bestiality, Vaishame Viata Behema, or in the reverse where it's a woman who brings a Behema on her in bestiality, Biskila. All of those are Chayav in Skila. We already saw that from the previous Mishnah. And the Mishnah asks, Imadam Chata Behema Machata. Now, when it comes to any engagement between a human being and an animal, the animal is always seen as being a passive participant, and the human being the active participant. So fine, we understand that the person sinned. What did the behemah do wrong? Because the skila has application not only to the human being involved in this, but also the animal is subject to skila. And the question is, why should the behemah be punished? Ella, the fish ba'ala adam takala yada. But because this animal caused an individual to sin, the fika chamar katuv tisakel. Therefore the pasuk says that it should be stoned. Davar acher. That an animal shouldn't be walking around in the public venues. That's the animal that so-and-so had consorted with, or that's the animal that caused so-and-so to die. It's an embarrassment for the individual. It is really a denigration of the individual. Now, obviously here, your animal activist will say, why should the animal suffer at all? This is all the error of human beings. And that is true over here. Although, because animals are created to serve man, that is maybe not true in the original creation, but it is true after Noach saves the animals in the Teva, the Ramban has a piece over there, and that's why basar, meat, is only mutar after the Mabul. Once Noach becomes the savior of all the animals, in some senses the animals are indebted to humankind, because they wouldn't be around unless that human being had saved them. And so in that way, animals are there to serve man. And in these cases where that quote-unquote service to man comes to a detriment of man, in that case, then the animal is no longer useful in some senses because it's not performing the service of servicing man in a positive and constructive manner. And again, it's not the animal's fault, but that is the purpose of the animals. And therefore, if human beings are misusing the animals, then again, the animals are no longer should be available to the human beings to get benefit from them because they aren't servicing them in a way that is constructive. Now the Gemara asks, Zachar Minalan. How do you know that there is a restriction against homosexuality? That isn't so hard, only because the pasuk's pretty explicit about that. Both in Parashat Achrimot, where you have the Azhara, as well as in Parashat Kiddushim, where you have the Onesh. In Parashat Achrimot, it says, V'tzachar lo tishka mishkevei isa isha toivahi. And so here you have both the pasuk of the Azhara as well as the pasuk of the Onesh. And here the Gemara is going to bring a braita that they sex those psukim. Tanu Rabbanan, Ish. So the pasuk in Kedoshim, which says Ish Asher Yishkav et Zachar, there the Ish prat the Katan again. Asher Yishkav et Zachar, Ben Gadol, Ben Katan. Doesn't matter if the passive party in the homosexual act is a person of age or a person that is a minor. Mishkeveisha. So why does it say Mishkeveisha? Magidacha katuv sheshnei mishkevot biisha. That comes to teach you that there are two ways to engage in intercourse with a woman. Well, the Ron says from the context, you can understand that it's lokedarka. Because Mishkav Eisha is written in the Pasuk dealing with Mishkav Zachor. And Mishkav Zachor is only relevant Shaloki Darka. And so then, by definition, the Mishkav Eisha being spoken about here is Shaloki Darka. Amar Rabbi Yishmael, Harizeh Bal Lameid, Benimtza Lameid. This is something that comes to teach, and in the end, learns. So it seems that the Mishkav Eisha, or the fact that it's mentioned in the context of Mishkav Zachor, is coming to teach us something about Mishkav Zachor. In the end, we end up learning, too, all Arayot from over here. Rashi reads it, since it's not relevant by Mishkav Zachor, therefore it must be relevant somewhere else, coming to teach us about something else, which is that of all the other Arayot. But Tosfot, on the other hand, sees it as being additive, which is, not only is this applicable by Mishkav Zachor, but it's also applicable by all the other Arayot. So we came to teach something about Mishkav Zachor. In the end, it has relevance, and we learn about all the other Arayot from that statement, which is that Shaloki Darka has relevance in Arayot, whether it's in the case of Mishkav Zachor, or whether it's in the case of regular Bi'ah within Isha. Motu Matu Biskila. So when it says Motu Matu, then they're put to death through stoning. When it says that motu motu, that they're put to death, how do you know the death penalty is skila? This is again the gzeirah shavah of d'man bam, which is that the pasuk ends d'man bam, and that teaches you to compare it or correlate it with ovidoni. Malalan biskila, just like by ovidoni, it's punishment of skila. Afkan biskila. So too over here, there is a punishment of skila. Now the Gemara says, onesh shamanu. Now that is the pasuk that you just dissected, is found in Parshat Kedoshim, that has to do with the punishment. Azara minayin. How do we know that it's equally applicable to the pasuk in Achrimot, v'tzachar lo tishka mishkevei isha toivahi? So there, Tamal Omer, v'tzachar lo tishka mishkevei isha toivahi, l'madnu azara b'shochev. Now we have learned the restriction against the one who is the active party in the homosexual act. Azara l'nishkav minayin. How do we know there's also a restriction on the passive party in the homosexual act? Tamal Omer, lo yeh kadesh mibnei Israel. That teaches you that the kadesh, there may not be someone who's involved in improper behavior, promiscuous behavior. V'gam Omer, and it says, V'gam kadesh haya ba'aretz asu k'chol to'avot ha'goyim shehorish. Divrei Rabbi Yishmael. Rabbi Yishmael says that you learn it out from lo yeh kadesh mibnei Israel. And then the pasuk also tells us, or correlates for us, in Malachim Aleph, between the terminology Kadesh and all the toivot, all the terrible activities that the nations that were before you in the land engaged in. Now, the psukim, both in Achrimot and Kedoshim, note, as both in their general statements and the headers, that these are the practices of the people of the land of Canaan, as well as Eretz Mitzrayim, and that you should not emulate them. I am throwing them out of the land because of their behavior. And if you then go and engage in their behavior, you're going to end up the same way as them, which is kicked out of the land. And so here it says, Kekola Toivot, that they do like all of the terrible acts of the Goyim, and he calls them a Kadesh. Through that, Rabbi Shmuel tells you that Kadesh involves Mishkav Zachor, which is mentioned in Parshat Achrimot under that title of the things that the other nations do. And so since you have that correlation, that lo yeh kadesh teaches you that the passive party in the homosexual act is also restricted, or there's a lav. Rabbi Akiva omer, eino tzarich. You don't need this limud. Hari omer, v'tzachar lo tishka mishkevei isha. And then you should be kari bey, and the way that the bach to fit into it, Rashi, it means kari bey lo tishachev. You should read it without nikudot. You could read it as zachar lo tishkav, which is the active form of sleeping. V'tzachar lo tishachev would be the passive form of sleeping. And since it's written Tav Shin Chav Bet without any nikudot, it can be read as Tishkav, but also can be read as Tishachev. And that means that the restriction at Vazachar Lo Tishkav, Ve'etzachar Lo Tishachev, both aspects are restricted. And that means both the active participant as well as the passive participant in the homosexual act is restricted or has an Azara. And we'll see later on, after we finish with this, we're going to come back and have a Moraim comment on this, Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel, but to teach us that there is a nafkamina between the positions of Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva. That will be apparent again in the next brayta that we're bringing with regards to Behema. Behema minalan. Which is Tanabanan. Again here by Behema, We are explaining the psukim that are found in Achrimot and in Kedoshim. In Achrimot it says, "B'chol be'ema lo titen shchob t'chalet ha'ma'ba, v'isha lo t'amod lifnei be'ema l'rabba tevel hi." And then in Kedoshim it says, "V'ish asher yiten shchobto be'ema, mot yumat, v'eta be'ema torogu." So now the Gemara says, "Ish," again from the pasuk in Kedoshim it says, "Ish, prata katan, asher yiten shchobto be'ema, ben gedola, ben ktana." Doesn't matter the age of the animal. Mot yumat, b'skila. How do you know the mot yumat over here means a death penalty by skila and not necessarily a death penalty by one of the other mitot beitim? That's because the pasuk ends. Nemarkan taharogu. The pasuk here ends with vet beimat taharogu, that the animal will be put to death. Nemar lahalan. And then it says further on, by the pasuk of mesit in dvarim, it says, ki harog teargenu, yadcha tiye bo berishono lamito, v'yad kol ha'am v'achrona, uskalto bavanim v'mei. Ki b'kesh adicha me'al Hashem lokecha, mutiacha me'eretz mitzrayim v'beit avadim. So you see over there, there's an association of harog teargenu with skila. And then we have gzer shava over here to the word tarogu to teach us that this is also punishable by skila. Then the Gemara continues. Lamadnu onesh l'shochev. Now you taught us about the punishment for the one who's the active participant. Onesh l'nishkav milanlan. How do I know that the passive party is also subject to the same penalty? Tamalomar, the pasuk that we bring from Pashat Mishpatim, koshochevim beima mot yumat. Anybody who sleeps with an animal is subject to a death penalty. If it's not about the active participant, because the active participant we already got from the pasuk in Pashat Kedoshim. So we know about that from pasuk in Kedoshim. What is the pasuk in Mishpatim telling us? Tneyu l'inyan nishkav. Must be coming to teach you about the passive party. Lamadnu onesh, ben l'shochev, ben l'nishkav. So now you've already explained to me how both the shochev and nishkav are subject to the death penalty. Azara minayin. How do I know that that also has application by the pasuk in Pashat Achrimot to teach you that both the active and passive participant are chayavim? Talmud Omar, it says in the pasuk in Achrimot, "Ubehol beima lo titen shchob t'chal etamaba." L'manu azara v'nishochev. That teaches you about the active party. L'nishkav minayin. How do I know about the passive party? Talmud Omar, lo yekadesh mibnei Yisrael. Once again, that pasuk that tells you that you may not have a kadesh amongst Bnei Yisrael, ve'omer. And then they bring the pasuk from Melachim Aleph as well, which is gam kadesh haya ba'aretz, that the behavior of the people in the land was similar to that of a kadesh, and that is a suk, a kol ha'tovot, a goyim, a she'orish. And then they did like all of the abominations of the nations that he chased out. And again, over here in Achrimot, the headers and the closing parts of these parshiot are, ki et kol ha'tovot elu asu anshei ha'aretz. That's what the people of the land did that I'm throwing out of the land. Divrei Rabbi Yishmael. Rabbi Yishmael, similar to what he did by Mishkav Zachor, says over here by Behema, that lo yakadesh teaches you about the passive party being subject to punishment. Now, Tosavot doesn't love Rashi's explanation over here, because he says, if you're learning it from the general statement by the Arayot, then this din of lo yakadesh should have application to all the arayot that are mentioned. And then in every case, you should be chayav shtayim. It should be limited to Mishkav Zachor and Behema. Therefore, the Balei Tosafot say it's because it says toiva specifically in the instances of Behema and Mishkav Zachor. Now, that's true by Mishkav Zachor, which is Isha Sheishkav et Zachar Mishkavei Isha. Toiva sushneem motu motu dmeem bam. So there, toiva is mentioned explicitly. But when you go to Behema, there's no specific mention of toiva. And so therefore now Tosafot is stuck as how do you know that there's also this aspect of Toiva that gives you Lo Yekadesh application also by Behema. So he says it's because there is a juxtaposition of Behema to Mishkav Zochor. And that is the Bayachremot that says, Vetzachar lo tishka mishkavei isha toivahi. There you have the mention of Toiva specifically by Mishkav Zochor. And then the next pasuk begins, U'bechol beima lo titen shchav t'chal etamaba. So the Vav is a Vav achibor, tevahu. And that's because the Vav, U'bechol, is a Vav achibor and teaches you that there's a connection to the Mishkav Zochor that is a Toivahi and the Vav achibor that is afterwards. Truth is that there are plenty of Vav achiburim there. What you have to say is the Vav HaChibur is immediately after the wording of Toiva He, and therefore it has application both to what's before it, Mishkav Zachor, that which is after it, which is Behema. And through that, Tosavot says that Toiva is mentioned both by Mishkav Zachor and Mishkav Beima. And that's the limud of Lo Yeh Kadesh, which is mentioning Toivot in particular, and not the generic Toivot that is mentioned by the Parshiat Arayot. Bikiva Omer, Inu Tzarich. You don't need that. Hayu Omer, Lo Titein Shchov Techa. Says, do not have any sleeping relationship. Lo Titein Shchivrat Techa. So again here, Rabbi Akiva says that from the word, which has no nikudot on it, you can read it as the active form of the verb, or you can read it as the passive form of the verb. Just like by Mishkav Zachor, he read it as lo tishkav and lo tishachev. So also over here, he reads it as lo titein shchov techa, which is the active form of the verb, and also lo titein shchivat techa, which is the passive form of the verb. And that means that in bestiality, then you have both the active and passive party being chayav, similar to what we have by Mishkav Zachor. And Rabbi Shmuel will say that, just like we learned from Lo Yeh Kadesh by Mishkav Zachor, that the active and passive party are chayavim, so too we'll have the same thing by Behema, because that is an emulation of the behaviors of the other nations, and there it doesn't specify, it includes all of these different aspects to them. Now the Gemara continues and says, Habala Zachor, someone who engages in homosexual activity, both as an active and passive partner, Amar Rabbi Bo, the Divri Rabbi Shmuel Chayav Shtayim. For Rabbi Shmuel, you actually are in violation of two Lavin, two Isurim. Chadam Lo Tishkav. One of them is Lo Tishkav, which is found in Parshat Achrimot, which is the restriction against being active partner. Chadam Lo Yeh Kadesh. And the other one from Lo Yeh Kadesh, which is also the passive partner. Lit Divri Rabbi Akiva, Inu Chayav Elachat. Whereas according to Rabbi Akiva, you're only Chayav for one restriction, because Lo Tishkav and Lo Tishachev Chadahi. Since they derive from the same lotase, you can't say that they're two separate isurim. Yes, if each one is done independently, then you can read it as lotishkav, or you can read it as lotishachev, so there'll be an isur for each one of them. But if they are done, both of them are done, you can't read that as two isurim. It's still only lo something, and that lo is either tishkav or tishachev, but you can't have it be both. Therefore, you only chayav one, even though there are two acts over here. And similarly, habala beima, beibim beima alav, similarly with bestiality, both if the male individual is an active party or a passive party in those situations, they are going to be, according to Rabbi Shmuel, Chayav Shtayim, Chada Milo Titein Shchov Techa, one from Lo Titein Shchov Techa, which is the active engagement with the animal, Chada Milo Yeh Kadesh, and one of them from Lo Yeh Kadesh, which is the passive side of it. But there you have two separate Isurim, the Divi Rabbi Akiva and Uchayav Elachat, whereas Rabbi Akiva only Chayav once, because he learns it out of the same word, just reading it as the active and passive verb. But since it's one lotase, in the end, if you're engaged in both activities, you're going to be in violation of one single lotase. Abaye comes along and says, no. Even according to Rabbi Shmuel, you only chayav once, even though he brings the source for the isur from two different locations. The active source is in Achrimot, and the passive source comes out of Lo Yeh Kadesh. Techi Ktiv, Lo Yeh Kadesh, Begavre Ktiv. Lo Yeh Kadesh is a reference to human beings. It's not mentioning animals. It's talking about a quote-unquote male prostitute, but an individual is engaging in promiscuous or impermissible engagements. That is a Kadesh, but it's meaning about human beings. It doesn't involve Behemot. How can you learn an Azhara for Behemot from a Pasuk that's clearly dealing with human beings and not Behemot, not animals? So then, if that's the case, Ela Rabbi Shmuel, Zerah L'Nishkav Minole. All Abaye is saying is that that pasuk is not exactly what Rabbi Shmuel is saying. It's for some other restriction. Then where exactly does Rabbi Shmuel get the warning for the passive participation in bestiality? Where does he get his Azerah from? Nafkale Mikol Shochev in Behema Mot Yumat. He learns it out Mikol Shochev. Im Enu Inyan Shochev, Ve'u Inyan Nishkav. So then, Ve'avke Rachmana Nishkav, the Lashon Shochev. So just like we learned before that for the Onesh, for the punishment, that the passive participant is subject to a death penalty from that Pasuk in Pashat Mishpatim, Kol Shochev in Behema. And we said, if it's not for Shochev, because we already know that, you can also learn Nishkav, that's by Onesh. The Gemara wanted to know, how do you know that by the Azhara? The answer is that Rabbi Shmuel now tells you that the Torah just redefined what the word Shochev means. Because now, since the Torah said shochev, and it really meant nishkav, ma shochev anash, these here, just like when you're in the active party, the Torah says you are both restricted from doing it and you get punished, af nishkav anash, these here. So too, when it comes to the azhara, the restriction or the lotase is applicable both to the active party and the passive party. Or in essence, what he's saying is that we're redefining the word shochev now to not mean just active engagement, but shochev in both the active and passive sense. And nirbad zachar by nirbad behema, a person who is the passive party in a homosexual act, in a bestiality act. According to Rabbi Akiva, you'll be chayev two. Then you'll be chayev one for loti shachev, which is the passive party in a homosexual act, and chada miloti tein shchov techa, which he reads as shchivatcha. But that means the isur for being the passive party, according to Rabbi Akiva, in bestiality and homosexuality come from two different psukim. Rabbi Shmuel, inu chayev alachat. Rabbi Shmuel, you only be chayev one, even though you engaged in two activities where you were a passive party, both to a zachar and to an animal, that's because idim idim lo yekadeshu. Both of them are learnt out of the pasuk lo yekadesh, so it's the same isur for the passive party. And even over here, you have separate entities that are creating the isur. Nevertheless, you need a particular limud that the Bali Tosafot pointed out to tell you that each one is a separate violation. And if you don't have that limud, we're not going to say that each one, or if you have separate animals or separate individuals, that it's going to create separate chiyuvim. By Amar, so once again, Abai says that does not have to be the case. Even according to Rabbi Shmuel, you could say you're chayav twice. So similar to what we said before is that Rabbi Shmuel's source for the passive party in bestiality is actually not from Lo Yekadesh, because there you're speaking about people, human beings. And if you're speaking about human beings, that it doesn't have relevance or a reference to animals. And so therefore you have to come up with a different source for Rabbi Shmuel. That's what Abaye did before. Once you do that, you have two separate Isurim involved in the passive engagement. Passive engagement of homosexuality, you learn that out from Lo Yekadesh. And the passive engagement with an animal, you learn that out from Shochev, that is now interpreted as Nishkav. Aval, Habal Azochor, Vevi Zachar Alav. But in a situation in which a person engages in homosexuality activity, both as an active and passive participant, Habal Beima, Vevi Beima Alav. And then also did the same thing with an animal, Ben the Rabbi Bo, Ben the Abaye, irrespective if you hold like Rabbi Bo or Abaye's explanation here, Rabbi Shmuel Chayav Shalosh. According to Rabbi Shmuel, you only have Chayav for three restrictions. Rabbi Akiva Chayav Shtaim. According to Rabbi Akiva, you're Chayav two. For Rabbi Shmuel, you're Chayav three. Because by the case of Behema, then the Shochev and Nishkav are equated, because they're learnt out of the same Patsuk, and therefore you only have one violation. By homosexuality, you actually can learn it out of two different restrictions, which is Lo Yekadesh and the active restriction of Etzachar Lo Tishkav Mishkavei Isha. So there you have three restrictions that are violated. And even if you hold like Rabbi Abou, that is Lo Yekadesh applies both to Behema and to a human being, then both passive acts over here only result in one Isur being violated, and both active acts have two punishments. So whether it's Rabbi Bow, there you're going to have an overlap in Lo Yekadesh, and therefore you only have three Isurim. According to Abaye, you'll have an overlap in Shochev and Nishkav of the Behema, because they both derive from the same Pasuk, and therefore you only have one restriction there. So the sum total of restrictions violated here are three. According to Rabbi Akiva, you'll only be Chayav Shtaim. Because Rabbi Akiva, the active and passive come out of the same lotase, both for Behema and for Mishkav Zachor. And so therefore there's only one Iser violated in the active and passive act. Tarabanan. Zachor lo asabo kakatan kigadol. Behema asuba kitana kigdola. When we learned the psukim before, when it came to Mishkav Behema, we said that when it says, ish esher yitain shkavto bebehema, mot yumat vet behema tarogu, the Behema there taught us ben gdola ben ktana. It doesn't matter whether the passive part of the animal is a gadol or a katan. By Mishkav Zochor, we don't have that statement of lo asabo katan ki gadol. Now that's not necessarily true, because when we brought the pasuk before, we said ish she ishkav et zachar. There the bright darshan zachar is ben gadol ben katan. So what are you saying? That's just not true. My lo asakvo katan ki gadol. So then what does that mean? That they didn't make it katan ki gadol. So as Rashi notes over here, that means that the Ben Gadol, Ben Katan, that was referenced to in the Braita, can't mean Ben Gadol means someone over the age of Bar Mitzvah, and Katan means someone below the age of Bar Mitzvah. So that means that there's a different threshold being learned over here. And that's saying that Ben Gadol, Ben Katan is not the threshold of 13, but there's a different threshold by which Torah does differentiate between Katan and Gadol. So where is that threshold? Meaning that there is a Katan who will be viewed like a Gadol, and there's a Katan that will not be viewed like a Gadol. Samarav lo asa biat pachot biben tesha shanim, kiben tesha shanim. And what Rav points out, based on following the sheet of Rabbi Kiva, that the azhara for homosexuality comes out of the same word, which is lo tishkav or lo tishachev. And just like if you're the active party, the threshold there is 9 years old, because biah is only considered biah once you are over the age of 9. So Rav says that correlation also teaches you by nishkav. The one who's the passive party, also the threshold is 9 years old. So that means that if a gadol engages in mishkav zachor with a katan, if the katan is the active party, he'll have to be over 9 years old in order to make the gadol culpable. And vice versa, if the katan is the passive party, the active party, the gadol, will only be chayav if the katan is over the age of 9. And that way Rav sees there being a parallel, that 9 is the threshold in both of those instances. And even though biyah is not relevant by being the passive party, nevertheless it is the threshold because the fact that the azhara is learned from the same word of lo tishkav and lo tishachev. Shmuel says that there's a different threshold for the passive party than there is for the active party. By the active party, if it's a katan, if he's over the age of 9, then the passive party who's a gadol will be culpable. If the active party is below the age of 9, then the passive party, the adult, will not be culpable. That's in the case of active engagement by the katan. But if the katan is the passive party, then Shmuel says the threshold is not 9, because there you're not engaged in active biyah. Rather, you become a passive party, like mishkevei isha, which is what the pasuk says, v'isha sheishkav etzachar mishkevei isha. And just like by isha, the threshold for biyah, where she is always the passive party, is 3 years old, so to over here, the threshold by a katan to make the gadol culpable will be the age of 3. And that's what the Gemara explains now by my kemiflugi. Rava sabar kol deita b'shochev ita v'nishkav. Whatever is true by the active party is also true by the passive party because of that limud like Rabbi Akiva, which is lo tishkav lo tishachev. And therefore, b'chol deita b'shochev leita v'nishkav. Shmuel amar mishkevei isha k'tiv. And Mishkevei Isha, or the threshold by Nisha, is 3 years old. Tanya Kavate de Rav, we have a Braita that supports Rav's contention that the threshold, even for the passive party, is 9 years old. Even though the Braita begins, Zachar ben Teisha Shanim v'yom echad haba al ha-behema, that here, a child who is over the age of 9 that engages with an animal, sounds like the child is the active party over here. Nevertheless, Rashi explains to us, Ubenishkav kamar. Braita is definitely talking about a child who is a passive party. Dilu b'shochev, if it is talking about a shochev, lo kamar zachor. It doesn't mention about homosexuality at all. Ve'od, I b'shochev kamar, or l'chayev et ha'nishkav gadol, and if you're talking about it's b'shochev to make the passive party chayav, ma'ishna zachor denakat kolor alareyot dami. It's not unique to homosexuality that if the active party is above the age of 9, that he makes the passive party culpable. That's even true in regular arayot, where the woman is a gdola, and the child is above the age of 9, she will also be culpable there. So then what's the relevance of the braita? So it must be that the braita is talking about a case where the zachar is the passive party, and so therefore you have to read it that someone who engages in a homosexual act with a child who's over the age of 9, or it's just a statement of the braita that zachar ben tishishim yom echad does bring culpability, and that's irrespective of whether they're an active or a passive partner in the case. And then the braita continues, abal beima ben kedarka ben shelo kedarka, someone engages with an animal, whether it's in the normal way or in the abnormal way, vaisha mi viata beima leha, or a woman who brings a behema unto her, ben kedarka ben shelo kedarka, chayav. In all those cases, you're chayav. So both if it's a human being that's a male who's actively engaging the animal, whether he does it kidarka, the normal fashion of bia, or shalo kidarka, not in the normal fashion of bia, which is that you can penetrate the animal from the other side. So too, by a woman who brings the animal on her, which she's the passive party, she brings the animal on her, whether it's kedarka or shelo kedarka. In all those cases, you are chayav. You are subject to the punishments of bestiality, as well as the most important here, which is that the zachar, that the child that is over the age of 9 years, also results in culpability, obviously if not for himself, because he's a minor, but he results in culpability, both if he's the active partner or the passive partner in any engagement. And he will be a passive partner only in an engagement of homosexuality. And we see there that the threshold for the passive partner is also 9 years, similar to what Rav said. All right, we're going to stop here, 3 lines down on the top of Nunhei Amud Aleph.